Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Colleen Pichel, and I want to welcome everyone to the first in a series of teleclasses I'm starting called Conversations with Dr. Colleen. I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Baxter Health Chiropractic Center in Ramsey, New Jersey. I am a lifelong learner and researcher of health and wellness, and I wanted to utilize the teleclasses as a way to bring new, exciting, helpful information to you about health and living a simple, easy life. I really hope that you're going to get something useful from what we will talk about today and on any future teleclasses that I do. Today's topic is about fat loss and not just weight loss, and I'm going to be talking to Dan Puccini of New Jersey Sports Advantage in Ramsey, New Jersey also. He's a general manager there. And full disclosure, I am a member of New Jersey Sports Advantage, and I've had just such great results with Dan and his staff that I wanted to share some of his expertise with you. So, Dan, welcome to the call, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Dr. Colleen. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. Can you, like, give us a little background about you and your, work with training and physical fitness and maybe a little bit about New Jersey Sports Advantage and what you guys have to offer over there?
Yeah, sure, definitely. A little about myself. I won't go too in-depth, but I studied exercise science in college. I went to the University of Delaware, and I came out of school with plans to be a elementary phys ed teacher. And I was a teacher for about 2 years, and I was always training and working out, but I decided to, get certified and use my college education to get a little more, business and to make a little more money as a trainer part-time. And what I found was that I absolutely loved it. And it really was a passion of mine. And I felt that doing it as a full-time profession gave me the opportunity to help people and help people get in shape and educate people about, living a healthy lifestyle, proper exercise, and nutrition. And probably about 4 years ago, I went and got my nutrition coaching certification, which just gave me the ability to kind of advance my knowledge about nutrition. And the most important thing was learning about how to properly work with different individuals and different clients and help them create an individualized nutrition program and exercise program that will help them reach their goals. And that's pretty much the mindset and the philosophy that we have adopted at New Jersey Sports Advantage. We've been open now for just almost 3 years, and it's a pretty big facility, and we cater to both adult clients and youth athletes. We offer a lot of different services, including a group training fitness program. We have personal training. We do nutrition coaching. We have a Pilates and stretch therapy program. And on top of that, we also do sports performance, strength training, speed and agility for young athletes of all different levels, all different ages, and all different sports. So we really do have a lot going on in the facility, and we really do like to help and reach as many people as we possibly can and get them healthy and improve their overall performance in not just sports but everyday life. Kind of sums it up.
That is awesome. And honestly, that is a really great overall of your facility, because it's an awesome place with lots of different, age groups that are working out there. And it's cool to see the kids up to, seniors doing their workouts and getting what I see a lot of personal attention from you guys, which I think is missing in a lot of the gym atmospheres with a lot of facilities where people just go in and do their own thing. You guys are very helpful, very attentive, and really work with your clients a lot, which is a great thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, that was a big thing when we opened, was to kind of get away from the traditional gym mentality and to cater to the individual but still create a kind of a team environment where everyone can work together and, you know, compete against themselves and have fun and not be intimidated when they're exercising.
Exactly. That's exactly what I see. So you guys are doing a good job of that.
No, thank you.
And why, one of the things that you've done recently in the last few months was a fat loss challenge. And I did take part in that and a lot of other people. And I think that is really what stimulated me to want to talk to you and this topic, because the results that were at the end were quite amazing in an overall like capacity for so many people to do really well at something. I just thought it was great. I was excited with my results, and I know a lot of other people were too. Can you give us a little bit of the highlights of those fat losses and, you know, what the numbers were as a group?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the program itself was an absolute success for every single person that participated. We had clients, you know, ranging from, you know, 25 years old up into their mid to late 50s, all following this program, and every single one of them saw great success, you know, right in line with the goals that we were really setting for each individual client. Just to give you a little some detail, the primary focus of the fat loss challenge was pretty much right there in the title, was to help our clients learn a healthy and sustainable way to lose stubborn body fat. And what we saw were numbers that just fell right in line with it. I'll just give you some averages. Overall, the average fat mass that our clients lost was 12 pounds. So, you know, and then you look at total weight loss, the average was 6 pounds. And for an 8-week challenge to see numbers like that, not only did it show that the program and the nutrition and the exercise worked, but also it showed that it was user-friendly, that each individual person could tailor it to their lifestyle, to their day-to-day activities, to their specific exercise needs, and still see a tremendous amount of success, which we were ecstatic about.
Exactly. Everyone was. I think for me, being a chiropractor and doing a lot of work with patients and health and fitness and trying to work dietary things with them, I don't have as much time to do that with some clients and patients, but you opened my eyes to some differences on how to work it. You know, a lot of people do the typical diets, the low fat, low carb, low calories, and they don't get the same results. Can you, you know, give us a little bit of idea of like what were some of the basic dietary changes, or how did you change how we looked at, you know, what we're eating, you know, in a grander way? Because it really it made differences for me, because I totally looked at things in a different way, and I thought it was very good overall.
Yeah, and you know, with a program like this, you know, you're always going to run into obstacles because you're dealing with a larger population, and you are generally using a basic format to help each individual, which is different from the individual coaching that we do, which is tailored specifically to the individual. We really did try to get as specific as we could with each participant, but basically what we did was we used a very simple mathematical formula based off of the individual's lean body mass. So that's pretty much just the sum of the individual's muscle mass, bone mass, organs, and water weight in the body. So it's pretty much everything with the exception of fat. So we used two different measurement techniques to find that number, and then just a basic formula to calculate how many calories each individual should be consuming each day. So even though it was a general program, and it was a lot of the principles we used were very broad. Each program could then be very specific and individualized for each person, and I think that really is one of the primary reasons that contributed to the great success that we had.
Oh, absolutely. The other component of this, and we're going to go back to some of the dietary stuff a little bit, but also the other component of this was the exercise. And the majority of us were already members of your Group Fit, program, so we do the classes on a regular basis. But can you give us a little idea about the types of exercise you encourage people to do? Did you have them do things that were a little different to focus more on a fat loss than just a cardio, a heart health type of thing?
Definitely. With this type of program, we structured it around our Group Fit training program. So what we do in our Group Fit program is an exercise technique called metabolic resistance training. So you have kind of two big words in there. You have metabolic and resistance. So metabolic is the kind of the system and function of how efficiently our body will, use calories and use energy throughout the day. So what we're trying to do with that, the specific exercises, is stimulate your resting metabolism so that you burn more calories throughout the day than you normally would. And then the resistance part is we try to use strength training in high-intensity methods to stimulate not only fat loss but muscle gain. Kind of studies have shown that when resistance training is introduced into exercise programs, when people add lean mass or lean muscle to their body, they naturally increase their resting metabolic rate. So if you normally would burn only 1,500 calories a day without any exercise, if you're increasing your resistance training, you may now burn 2,000 calories during the day, plus the calories you're burning while exercising. So there can be a tremendous caloric benefit to the type of workouts and exercises that we were recommending.
Okay, now I know sometimes when people talk about resistance training and weight training, people get a little nervous. Some women do. They don't want to build big muscles and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do that kind of thing. And you guys are great with the instruction, the encouraging, all that. But for the average person, why is building that muscle such an important thing? A lot of people, I think, sort of kind of get the, muscle burns fat a little bit. But can you explain a little bit about that so people get the point behind this is not just doing cardio, but it's that building the muscle, like you just said, helps burn more calories, and you can explain that a little bit more.
If you like you just said, a traditional method or a very popular method for fat loss used to be just doing long duration steady cardio. So maybe going out for a jog, or going on the treadmill or the elliptical for 35 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour. And what they found is that steady state cardiorespiratory exercise was really only beneficial for calorie loss and metabolic rate when you were actually in the exercise. So if you're doing, if you're on the elliptical for a half hour and you burn 300 calories, that's great, but you're only going to burn 300 calories, and then after you stop, your body's going to return back to its normal metabolic rate. What they have found with resistance training, and, our style of resistance training is a little more intense because we try to increase your heart rate and, elevate your aerobic capacity and your work capacity while you're training, but it's not exclusive to just that type of training. Any type of resistance training, whether it's strictly body weight training, like doing push-ups, planks, squats, or Pilates, which would be, you know, more of a movement-based and flexibility and core-based exercise, or yoga, which is an isometric mobility and breathing type of exercise. Those all have components of resistance training. And when you introduce that into your exercise program, you're going to increase muscle mass and your body's resting metabolic rate. And when you increase your resting metabolic rate, you're going to burn more calories over time than you would if you were just doing traditional cardiovascular exercise, or if you were just not exercising at all and just maintaining a normal lifestyle or active lifestyle.
Yeah, and I think overall this is, it's not something that is just for one group of people, you know, not for the young men who are lifting weights and stuff. It's great for all ages, all women. And from my perspective, I try to explain to people, especially as they age, the importance of muscle and balance. And a lot of the exercises that you do also bring in the balance component, which is a huge thing for people to keep themselves active, mobile, and the balance eliminates, you know, the chances of falling as they get older. And it's a great thing for all ages to incorporate that resistance and that weight training. So I'm so glad you guys put such a great focus on it.
No, you're exactly right. And to kind of to piggyback on your point about balance, you know, especially, you know, what we see with our facilities in our group training program, which is, you know, definitely a resistance-based training program, 90% of the population that takes our classes are women. And, you know, they benefit from that type of training, not only in a metabolic sense, but being strong doesn't necessarily mean being big or bulky. You know, strong and strength is a function of being able to perform everyday tasks with ease. So as you age, you know, your ability to climb stairs, you know, pick up, you know, items off the floor, pick up your kids, push a stroller, just, you know, everyday normal activities that we go through become easier just because you're stronger. And then you add the balance component, increased mobility and flexibility, which is something that we try to focus on. And as for females especially, increased bone density. There are definitely studies that have been proven to show that weight-bearing exercises, whether with free weights, machines, or body weight type resistance, does improve bone density and can help slow down the process of osteoporosis and osteopenia. So, you know, you take fat loss out of this. I know that's the primary focus of what you're talking about, but there are so many more benefits to resistance training outside of just being, you know, of losing weight or burning fat.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, especially from my perspective and seeing people in my office with, you know, bone changes, arthritis, and, you know, the osteoporosis, osteopenia. And it is important to think about it even when you're younger and, you know, before it becomes a real problem. But
yeah,
definitely,
exactly.
Let's kind of go back to that fat loss that we're trying to keep a little focus on. But
yeah,
all this
exactly.
Stuff is great information. And it really, it goes hand in hand because losing fat is also beneficial in all these areas also with your movements and your activity levels and your even your energy. You're going to see all those things happen. So, you know, I mentioned before about the, you know, other types of diets, low fat, low carb. You've got, you know, people that just follow gluten-free, paleo. We have so many different things. I kind of, sometimes, you know, you hear the people talk about, oh, yeah, well, I lost 5 pounds first week and stuff. What happens in some of those diets when people lose really quick weight fast? Is it truly like the water weight that everybody talks about? You know, what? How do those diets work in the long run? I think the way you were teaching us to eat a little bit more seems a little bit more sustainable, thinking about it and focusing on some more specifics on how much protein you eat and those measurement type of things, and then just eliminating one type of food or, you know, like that kind of a program. What are they losing when you lose weight quickly like that? And it's not really, you know, fat usually.
Yeah. Generally, what we see in those kind of situations is like, is if it's in a 7 to 10 day protocol, sometimes extended almost to 14 days, 2 weeks. What we see a lot with that is about a 60-40 breakdown. So it's usually about 60% water, 40% fat. You know, everybody's different. The further you are away from your body's natural weight, if you are carrying a higher body fat percentage than another individual, all of those factors come into play when determining how quickly or how slowly your body burns fat. It's the laws of homeostasis will kind of determine, you know, how quickly, you know, fat comes off. So, you know, to give you an example, if you're working with an individual who is, let's say, 30% body fat, they are much more likely, and you know, in most cases, if they follow you know, a structured nutritional program, they're going to lose fat at a greater rate than an individual who, let's say, is maybe at 15% body fat, just because they're further away from their body's, you know, natural weight and the kind of the natural body fat percentage that the body should have. So that can play a lot into it. It's very individualized in terms of how quickly people see fat loss change and water weight, and there's a lot of factors that can come into play that can dictate that and determine that. You know, and unfortunately, it's not, you know, as easy of an answer and you know, as you can get. But if I were to put a number to it, from what I've read and what I've seen, generally it's about 60% water, 40% fat in that first 2 weeks, and then after that, we measure healthy fat loss as 1 pound per week. So if we were to, you know, look at, you know, a lot of the individuals in this program, you know, we saw a total fat loss average of about 12 pounds in 8 weeks. And the reason why we had that higher number is you're going to have individuals who are carrying a higher body fat percentage in relation to individuals who are carrying lower body fat percentage, and they're going to lose less fat because they don't have as much fat to lose.
Correct, right. One of the things that just you reminded me of is I remember during the challenge that there were points and times where people were a little upset that the scale didn't budge. And we were being measured and things periodically. So, but what was happening was is people were still losing inches. So can you explain what that is and how you're not losing weight, but you're losing inches?
Yeah, and that really ties into what we touched on briefly, too, about resistance training and the body's ability to increase your lean mass. So, you know, total weight is a very tricky statistic to follow, and it can be a very unreliable way to measure good progress and bad progress when it comes to you know, nutrition coaching and dieting and, you know, weight management. So, you know, looking at the scale can be very deceiving, because if you were to go through a 12-week program and you weighed 100 pounds when you started and you weighed 100 pounds at the end, but in that process, you lost 0 pounds, but you gained, you know, 10 pounds of muscle and you lost 10 pounds of fat, that, you know, change can really show a significant difference in overall body composition and how you look and how you feel. But if you're looking at the scale, it's not being seen as a successful program. And that's why, you know, what we try to do is really try to get people to not focus on the scale on a day-to-day basis or a weekly basis and really try to forget about what the scale says, because, you know, it really, you know, it doesn't mean that much. All it really means is, you know, this is how much you weigh. It doesn't mean how much, doesn't show you how much fat you have, doesn't show much how much lean mass you have or how much water weight you may be carrying that day, which can be, you know, which can change drastically from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed. You can see, you know, 5 pound fluctuations in water weight, you know, just in a 24-hour cycle. So, you know, looking at the scale is not an accurate, you know, measurement and a measuring scale for progress.
Yeah, and that was very apparent, was I think for a lot of us, I think that was a great eye-opener to not focus on the scale so much. But I think it's great to really hone down that point of, yeah, you can go on a diet and you can lose 10 or 15 pounds, but you're probably not losing as much fat as you think, and you're not gaining any lean muscle mass by not working, you know, some exercise resistance training in there. So it's a huge combo that works so well when you put them both together. And I just hope people get, you know, that is a huge point from all this, is you could do one or you could do the other, and sometimes they both kind of work, but when you put them together, they work really, really well. So
yeah.
I'm excited about that. I hope everyone, you know, really grasps that. I want to go back to food a little bit. You know, one of the things that it's difficult sometimes when you tell somebody, well, you know, I need you to eat this much protein every day, or, you know, and I know that's a big focus with changing your diets, is the amount of protein you eat, the types of protein you eat. Maybe you can just kind of do a little bit about, you know, the some of the recommendations for people in protein, and they're probably not eating near enough, you know, that they probably should be.
Yeah. One of the biggest problems we see with clients is that they're not taking in enough protein. You know, protein as a nutrient source is really the building block for your muscles. And if you're not feeding the muscle and feeding your body the necessary amount of protein, you're not going to be able to, you know, build muscle effectively, and in turn, you know, your metabolism is going to suffer. What we tried to do, you know, with how we work with clients and what we did in the program is give people a specific amount of protein that they should be targeting each day. And what we tried to do to make it easy for everybody was to really show them what the minimum was, and give them a range to try to fall into. One, because it's not an exact science, because everybody's different, and you know, there's no way to know 100% the exact amount that of protein someone should be eating. So we make a recommendation based off of you know, formulas that we follow that have been, you know, proven and shown to work. And we give the, you know, each person their the minimum amount they should be trying to take in, and give them a range that they should fall into on a daily basis. And then from there, in the challenge scenario, I tried to lay it out as simply as possible and break it down for each person on a four-meal basis, and then say, you know, and then divide your total amount of protein that you take in for the whole day by four, and that should be the amount that you take in with each meal. And then from there, as we say, okay, that's the individual amount that you should take in with each meal, what does that look like, and how much of that equals the number of grams of protein. What I like to use is a very simple method, and it's not an exact science, but it really does work, and it gives people a realistic visual, is to use the inside palm of your hand. So from your middle finger down to the base of your palm, that would equal a single serving of protein for, you know, your average female. Generally, it's between 4 and 6 ounces of that specific type of protein. And that's pretty much the method we use. It's very simple. You know, some people do have food scales at home, so they can be very exact and measure their food. And if they have the time to do that and it's something that they're able to do, I would definitely recommend doing that. But, you know, I know for myself, time is of the essence, and we don't always have that type of time to measure our food out. But just to, you know, look at my hand or look at my two hands and say, okay, this is the amount that I should be having, it just makes you feel more comfortable, and you don't second-guess your decisions, and you know exactly how much you should be taking in. And just judging by the results, you know, the method does work very well, and it was very helpful for the individuals who are working in that challenge.
Yeah, and I want to just reiterate that like 4 to 6 ounces of protein is at each meal, right? You know, and
that's not
just once a day.
Because
a lot of people eat heavy carb meals and don't include the protein, so that's important to, you know, make sure that you balance it out.
Yes, and having protein should be the primary nutrient source, you know, with each meal. And, you know, it's really, you know, we try to say, you know, every time you eat, first thing you should think about is, okay, where is my protein source in my meal, you know? And, you know, these are very small little things, and, you know, they're not drastic changes. It's just being more conscious of the types of foods that you're putting in your body. And those just with that little and small amount of mindfulness really does make a big difference long term.
Absolutely. And along the lines of that, people are many times afraid of the protein and just don't eat enough is fat, is the inclusion of good fats into your diet, which is really important for a lot of things, your brain, your heart health, but it's very good for your metabolism too. And I know that's something else people don't want to, or they shy away from because they think fat turns into fat. Can you talk about that a little?
That was a huge marketing ploy from the 50s that stuck around for way too long.
Exactly.
Pretty much what the theory was that if you eat fat, you're going to get fat. And, you know, like any single nutrient, and I'll include, you know, carbohydrates in there as well, no one single macronutrient is responsible for an individual being, you know, overweight or not. It's the cumulative sum of all of those nutrients together and the total calories that you consume, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, you know, over a longer period of time. It's not as simple as, oh, well, if I eat fat, I'm going to get fat, or if I eat fat, it's going to clog my arteries and I'm going to have a heart attack. You know, it's definitely not just that, you know, kind of single-minded approach that has kind of been, you know, flown around for so many years. And I think the more people are educated about fat, a better understanding of the positive qualities of it, what the difference is between a healthy fat and unhealthy sources of fat, are extremely important, because there are so many misconceptions out there and there's so many different marketing ploys that you see on commercials and in grocery stores that, you know, really, you know, leave you confused and not knowing what to do.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've always talked about was, you know, we did the whole change the food and everything was fat-free for so long, but all they did was change by adding more sugar and more carbohydrates to foods, and everyone still got fat.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't really the fat. And we're not talking about eating high levels of trans fats and, you know, fried foods. We're talking about good fats like avocados and nuts and seeds and coconut oil. You know, I mean, things that are good fats that are not going to affect your cholesterol, and they just really do help your body do a lot of different things. It's good for your joints too, because I know sometimes that's an issue with some people with exercising, that they shy away from things because, oh, I can't, my knees. It's, you know, the omega-3 fatty acids. There's so many great things for them for people, and why you should include them in your diet too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, the healthy fats, like you just mentioned, you know, nuts, you know, seeds, avocado is, you know, they have made a real push in the last couple of years. But they are, you know, really an excellent source of fat. The coconut oil actually has been shown to reduce blood cholesterol and increase your HDL, which, you know, most people would think, oh, well, if it's a saturated fat, it's bad for me. And that's not the case. Fish oil, like you said, has an anti-inflammatory function in the body. So anti-inflammatory, sometimes you hear that with injuries and joint issues, you know, arthritis or just, you know, overuse injuries that will build up over time. But that's also with digestion. You know, when you eat certain foods, their inflammation can occur in your intestines. And that inflammation that happens in the body can cause stress. And when there's stress, hormones are released that force you or make your body think that, you know, we're going into some kind of, you know, disaster situation, and we store fat. It's just a, you know, a natural function of our hormones to protect us. And fish oil actually can help reduce that inflammation and prevent your body from going through that digestive inflammation, and really does help with your body's ability to burn fat instead of store fat. So, you know, those little things that we don't think about really can make a big difference long term. You know, taking, you know, just, you know, 3 grams of fish oil a day can improve your body's anti-inflammatory response to digestion and, you know, overall health issues.
Right, and your joints, and they won't hurt as much, and you'll be able to exercise more.
Yeah, exactly. And the more you can exercise, then, you know, the more calories you burn, and it's a lovely cycle that you can create.
Exactly. All right, well, I got one more good question for you. You know, something that I hear a lot about also, and I'm sure you get people talk about this a lot, plateaus when you're, you know, and you're in the phase of trying to do something, or you kind of get bored, you know, with the exercise, with the food. I know that's one thing about the classes at your facility is there's no boredom ever because it's different every single time. But what about plateaus? You know, is there any recommendations you have for people that, you know, how do you change things up, or, you know, is it just patience and wait through, you know, if you're sticking to the plan?
I think when it comes to a diet sense, patience is a big part of it. You know, like you touched on earlier, with low carb, gluten free, low fat, high protein, paleo, Atkins. You know, what I've found is that if a diet has a name, then chances are it has a beginning and an end. And when it has a beginning and an end, that means that when it ends, the big question you're going to have is, well, what do I do now? You know, I've done everything that the diet says. I've lost all the weight that I wanted to. I've lost all the fat that I've wanted to. But now what do I do? Or I've lost 50 pounds and I still have, you know, 10 more pounds of fat to go, but my body seems to have come to a standstill. What do I do? And, again, you know, we're painting with a broad brush because, you know, a lot of these things are very individualized. But generally what happens is when your body fat reduces and your lean mass increases and your exercise frequency increases, what's the one thing that hasn't changed is that we're continuing to reduce and reduce and reduce calorie intake. So if you really think about it, now your body is working more efficiently, you're burning more calories at rest, you're burning more calories on a daily basis because you're exercising, and you're taking in fewer calories. So what happens to your metabolism then, and this is really going to kind of blow up everything we've just been talking about, is your metabolism is going to slow down because it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't want to lose everything, so let's slow down and make sure that we keep what we have. And what we recommend in these types of situations when you do hit a plateau is, one, eat more. That's the first thing. Take in more protein. You may have to increase more carbohydrates, especially before and after your workouts. Your fat intake should be level across the board. You're you know, like we talked about earlier, increasing your healthy fat intake should be a sustainable process throughout from start to finish, just because it's so necessary for your metabolism and your hormones. But yeah, increasing calories is a necessity when you hit a plateau. Adjusting your exercise, changing the way you exercise, and if you get bored with your diet, you got to cheat a little bit.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, no, and you know, it doesn't have to be so dogmatic and be like, okay, on Sunday I'm gonna have 7 pizzas and a box of donuts. I like to follow the 90-10 principle. So pretty much what that means is 90% of my calories on a daily to weekly basis should come from the healthy sources that we are constantly talking about. So lean proteins and, you know, fruits and vegetables. If you, you know, don't have any carbohydrate issues or gluten issues, whole grains, a lot of fiber, and then your healthy fats are all a part of that. But when you get closer and you want to continue to lose more body fat and your metabolism is trying to come to a little bit of a standstill, or you want to break through that plateau, that 10%, should be, something sweet, some dark chocolate, or, if you want to have a little bit of ice cream, or, if you're going out with friends and you want to have a glass of wine, not only in a physiological sense, but also mentally, just to give yourself a break so you don't always feel like you're on a diet. You should never really feel like you're on a diet. You should feel like that this is just the way that you live, and it's healthy, and you feel good, and you get to eat a wide variety of foods, and you're not restricted in how much of those foods you can eat. And if you allow yourself to, have a little dessert every now and then, or, have some extra carbohydrates with dinner, it's okay. It's not going to eliminate and kill all the progress that you've made, in that, long fat loss journey that you've started. So the 90-10 rule is, let's say if you, make it super simple, if you, eat 1,000 calories in a day, 900 of them should fall into that, the healthy, whole food category, and 100 of them can, fall off of that every now and then without the risk of undoing all the hard work and, all the gains and progress that you've made. That to me has been the best method. There is science behind it too. There's hormones released when your body takes in carbohydrates when you've been on a reduced calorie diet. So those hormones that are released actually do stimulate fat loss. So you know, when you get down to a lower body fat percentage, when you are exercising more, carbs become more of a necessity. And those are things that, you know, when you do get to that point, you know, talk to a professional about it. Ask them what you should do. Let them evaluate your eating habits. You know, record what you're eating so that you can reflect back and see what you have eaten, and see where you can increase calories or increase carbohydrates so that you're going to make progress instead of, you know, make and feel like you're doing something wrong. You know, that's the last thing you want to do is start to second guess your decisions, because you have come so far. You know, you don't want to, you know, start to go backwards or stand still.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's just frustrating, and it kind of, you know, kind of puts a burst your bubble a little bit, and then you don't feel like you're doing the right thing.
It defeats the whole point of what you're doing. What you're doing is helping yourself and making you, you know, you want to feel good about what you're doing and have a positive outlook on all the progress that you've made. And, you know, it's very understandable to start to get down or frustrated if you hit a plateau or see a standstill, or maybe you see your numbers change, you know, in the opposite direction. And the last thing you want to do is get discouraged, because you have come so far. And, you know, following some just those very easy principles and keeping a healthy mindset about what you're doing, and not stressing about what you eat and what you're putting in your body, you know, all the time, can really make a big difference in allowing you to continue to make forward progress and positive progress.
Exactly. One thing I would just like to kind of include in this and kind of an overview is for the diet aspects are nowadays there are so many apps, programs and stuff that you can utilize with your phone to keep track of these things and see your calories for the day, see how much protein you're actually intaking, or maybe that you go, oh gosh, I really have not had enough protein today. So at dinner, you maybe make some different decisions. They're very helpful. I've been using them for years. I know a lot of people that do. I know you encourage that with the program. So that's just something everyone can take a look into to help themselves.
Yeah.
It's a very helpful tool.
There's a lot of them out there now, and most of them are free, which is even better.
Right. Exactly.
Statistics, you know, revert back to numbers, but statistically, if you record your food, it increases your chances of success by 30%. So that,
wow.
You know, using an app function nowadays with the technology available is such a great tool to follow, because you can see, like you said, you could see how many grams of protein you're taking in. You can see carbs. You can see fat. You can look, you know, at what time of day are you eating? What time of day, you know, are you, you know, eating certain types of foods? And it really helps you have accountability, and also it allows you to assess what you're doing to make sure that you are continually moving in the right direction and you're not making the same mistakes over and over again.
Exactly. We all want to succeed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me, and there was so much great information that you gave us. I hope people can take some, you know, pointers from this. Seek help if you're confused and don't know where to start. There are, you know, plenty of great trainers out there, but I wholeheartedly want to just tell everyone that Dan and his crew at New Jersey Sports Advantage. Very personal touch. Really great results. When you gotta make a commitment. You know, we all have to do at some point in time if you really want to change, you know, your health and your fat levels and all that stuff. But I'm so happy that you could hang out with me for this little time. And maybe if you want, give some contact info. Tell everyone maybe your website, phone number, if anybody has any questions and they want to ask you anything else or see anything else more about your facility.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you allowing me to come on and having me come on and you know, talk about, you know, this topic that it can be so confusing to everybody because it's constantly changing and there's always something new or something better. And, you know, yeah, and just like you said, the best thing to do is if you're really, you know, want to make a change and, you know, you really want to see results and see long-term results that are sustainable and that you can manage, you know, not just for a 6-week, 8-week, 12-week period of time, but for the rest of your life without ever feeling like you're on a diet, then, you know, definitely, you know, look into the services that we provide. Our website is www.njsportsadvantage.com. On there, you'll see all the different information about the services that we provide. The phone number, if you want to call and speak to one of our trainers or to myself about any of the services, or just if you have some, you know, questions about nutrition or exercise, the phone number is 201-236-6381. And my email address is info, NJSA, it's all one word, @gmail.com. And, you know, any questions you have, anything you want to talk about, you know, those are always the best ways to get in touch with me and, you know, myself and our staff. Everybody is willing to help, and, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get to, you know, the end result, and our job is to figure out what's the best way for you. You know, there's no right or wrong diet. There's no right or wrong way to lose fat. It's the method that works best for you, and that's our job to help you figure out. Just so people are aware, is that we you know, we do our group training classes. Everything is modified and geared to individuals and to every level. So if you're just starting out and you're not sure if it's the right decision, the classes, you know, everybody says they're, you know, they can be intense and classes can be intimidating, but, you know, they're not a boot camp. You're not going to get yelled at. You know, someone's going to be there to help you, and we're going to modify the exercises for what you need and, you know, and see you progress through the program. And so you make sure that it's you know, a long-term solution, not just something that you start and you know, we never see you again. That's not our goal. Our goal is to keep you coming back and keep you happy and make sure you get the results you want.
Absolutely, and I can attest to the fact that there's so many people in the program, the group fit classes, that have been there for a long time. So that's a great testament to you guys, and it's you definitely are a little different than a lot of facilities, and I think that's what sets you guys apart, and that's why you keep your clients. So it's great. I'm so happy that you got some time that you could talk with me, and I appreciate it. And I want to thank everyone who's on the call listening, and you can always contact me, myself, Dr. Colleen Cashel, at the my office is Back to Health Chiropractic, and the office number is 201-818-3010. And our web address is backtohealthonline.net. You can always check that out. There's a lot of great information on there. We're going to try to have this recorded. The recording will be on my website, so you can always go back and listen to it if you want to hear any of the information, and share it with your friends. That would be awesome. So once again, thanks so much, and talk to you guys soon on the next call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, I cut you off at the last part there. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Wait, let me see. It didn't say that the recording has ended. That's interesting. I hope it says to hit *9 again. All right. Well, hopefully this has ended. Thanks so much, Dan. All right. I will talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
Thank you.